إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير كلام كلام الله عز وجل وخير الحدي حدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدع وكل بدعة دلالة وكل دلالة في النار وبعد. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, acknowledging that Allah, He is the one that we worship, acknowledging that He is the one that we turn to in seeking aid, acknowledging that He is the one that we turn to in repentance. We seek aid with Him, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of our own selves and the evil of our own actions. Whomsoever Allah guides, there is none to mislead him, and whoever is misled, none can guide him except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, who has no partners whatsoever. And I testify that Muhammad is that there is none worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger. After that, the best speech is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the best guidance and the only guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the worst of all the matters and the newly invented matters into religion as taken as aspects of worship. And every newly invented matter into religion is misguidance, and all misguidance leads to the hellfire. It's a great blessing for human beings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from His mercy and His wisdom, sent down prophets to follow, prophets as beacons of guidance and light. And our Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was the last prophet from Allah to all of mankind. And he taught us how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is imperative, important, that the Muslim turns back and studies the religion of Allah. This was the way of our forefathers, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our forefathers in Islam, that they would learn the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They would all take turns in learning the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is an obligation upon every single Muslim. So alhamdulillah, we're looking at, we're continuing with the lessons today on the 7th of Sha'ban in the year 1442, Al-Hijrah, corresponding to the 20th of March in the year 2021. And we're continuing at looking at the benefits to the conditions of La ilaha illallah. Now, alhamdulillah, we've reached the third condition. The first condition being knowledge, by which nothing can precede it. Knowledge, you have to have knowledge to be able to carry out worship and carry out the understanding and implement La ilaha illallah. Then we looked at yaqeen, certainty, having certainty in La ilaha illallah. And today we're going to look at al-ikhlas, sincerity. Now these conditions, there's no particular arrangement or order to them. We're just looking at how the scholars explained them and put them together. So some scholars, they arranged it in a different manner, in a different format, different arrangement, and some scholars arranged it in a different arrangement. So the third condition is al-ikhlas, sincerity. And the opposite of sincerity, al-ikhlas here, is shirk, putting partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the scholars mention al-ikhlas is having a pure intent of worship for the one who deserves worship. A pure intent, yani pure, free from everything. the qasd, the intent, the intention of obedience to the one that was worshipped, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it has also been said that is purification of action with a correct or righteous intention from all the being pure and purifying the action with a righteous intention from all, every doubt of shirk or any blemish or any stain of shirk, keeping away from all that. So that's how some of the scholars define ikhlas. And the easiest way in English we can say is sincerity. Sincerity. But al-ikhlas has a purer meaning than that. English or in any other language is deficient in describing these words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and these meanings of the Arabic language are very, the Arabic wordings are very rich in meaning. So when we look at al-ikhlas, the easiest way for us to translate it would be sincerity, okay? And there are many ayat in the Quran which talk about sincerity. Some of the scholars have mentioned that the foundation of Islam is built upon sincerity. It's built upon sincerity. There is another condition we're going to look at another time, which is sidq, honesty. Yeah, honesty, being honest to la ilaha illallah. But here, this one is sincerity, which is very similar, and they go hand in hand. Sincerity and truthfulness go hand in hand. But here, ikhlas meaning pure away from shirk. Pure away from shirk, putting partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we're going to look at some of the evidences from the Quran regarding this, because there are so many. So we're going to look at some of them, inshallah. As a reminder that we are based upon the evidences of the Quran and the Sunnah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Zumar, Inna anzalna ilayka al-kitaba bil-haq, that we revealed to you, or we sent down to you the book with truth, in truth. Fa'budullah mukhlisan lahu ad-din. So worship Allah, making the religion sincerely for Him. Ala lillahi ad-dinul khalis. Surely the religion is for Allah alone. Yani worship and obedience is for Allah alone. Yani total obedience is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Pure worship and obedience is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what gives us the strength in our religion. This is the thing that gives us the strength and the foundation of our religion. That we are truthful with the people, but we are truer with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are sincere with the people when we're dealing with the people, you know, our daily dealings. We don't cheat, we don't lie. A Muslim doesn't lie, a Muslim doesn't cheat, even if it's against his own self. Okay, that's in the dunya. It's worldly matters, which are yani nothing. The world is a deception, because we're going to die one day. We can't take it with us. I build a big house, I'm not going to be able to take that to my grave. I have get an expensive car, I'm not going to be able to take that with me. I have my big house, I've got two fridges, I've got air conditioners, I've got computers, laptops, phones. I'm not going to be able to take them with me. I'm going to die, and my actions will be cut off from the dunya, and we're going to be placed into the grave. We're going to be placed into the grave. I can't take any of this stuff with me. So what is the benefit of lying in the dunya? What is the benefit of cheating the people in the dunya? Cheating from their money, their wealth, lying to save your own face. Just admit it, you were wrong, made a mistake, repented to Allah, khalas, finished. But what happens? The people, we become so ashamed of what we've done or something like that, or we become so deceived by the dunya that we want to acquire wealth, even if it's in haram way. stealing people's money, taking people's property and wealth, and having no care for it, having no, you know, it's about, you know, just loving it, and not even thinking about the hereafter. So if we don't even do that in the dunya, then what about with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the most kind, the most merciful? We have to be even more sincere in our worship. We have to be more sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when I stand to pray, I don't pray to show off to the people. I don't pray because so-and-so is in behind me. No. We do it purely for Allah's sake. Okay. Another ayah. And this is the ayah some most of us recite in the Quran, in the prayer. وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهُ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. And they were not ordered except to worship Allah, مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ, making the deen purely for Allah's sake. And they were not commanded, but they should worship Allah and worship none but Him alone. Hunafa, yani without any partners upon Tawheed. وَيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُعْتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَذَلِكَ دِينُ الْقَيِّمَةَ. And giving the establishing the prayer and giving the zakat, and that is the correct deen. That is the correct deen. So this is another ayah in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about ikhlas, being sincere in your worship, sincere in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ إِنِّي أُمِرْتُ, yani a person should, the Prophet was addressing the Prophet to say, that we say, قُلْ إِنِّي أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أَعْبَدُ اللَّهِ مُخْلِصًا لَهُ الدِّينِ. Say, indeed I have been ordered to worship Allah مُخْلِصًا لَهُ الدِّينِ, making the deen purely for Allah's sake. وَأُمِرْتُ لِأَنْ أَكُونَ أَوَّلَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, and I've been commanded to be the foremost of the Muslims. Yani, being foremost here, meaning that the person strives in following the Islam. He strives, أكون أول المسلمين, يعني striving to be the best of the Muslims. قل إني أخاف إن أسيت ربي أذاب يوم عظيم. Say, indeed I fear that if I am disobedient to my Lord, I fear a great a punishment of a great day. قل الله قل قل الله أعبد مخلصا له ديني, and say that Allah is the one that I worship sincerely with my religion. Sincerely with my religion. Another in the Quran, وَدْعُوا مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينِ, make dua to Allah sincerely with the whole of the religion. Another ayah, فَدْعُوا اللَّهُ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ, and make dua to Allah, make dua to Allah, mukhlisin, sincere for Him with the religion, well, even if the kuffar dislike it. And there's many, many ayat that we can mention about sincerity. There's many ayat, and scholars have written books about this. Kitab al-Ikhlas by Ibn Rajab, and al-Ikhlas by al-Kanuji, and others, you know, others have written books about sincerity, because it's such an important topic. It's the foundation of our religion, of being sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we don't do things to show off. We don't do matters of the religion I'm talking about. And in the dunya sense as well, we don't show off. We don't get qualifications and brag and boast and talk, look how many qualifications I have, look at the status I've got. Yes, if Allah gives that situation and there's a circumstance a person needs to mention something of his that Allah has blessed him with, then this is permissible. But to brag and boast about and have pride and arrogance and be haughty and look down upon the people, then this is not permissible. Now let's look at some of the narrations from the Sunnah, okay, which, and there are again so many of them, that it's difficult to mention all of them. Anyway, from the Sunnah, in a hadith which is thabit in Sahih al-Bukhari, from Abu Hurairah radhiyallahu anhu, where the Prophet ﷺ said, "As'adu an-nasi bi shafa'ati," the most happy or the most happiest of people with my of those people happiest with my intercession, bi shafa'ati, man qala la ilaha illallah khalisan min qalbihi aw nafsihi. Of those people happiest with my intercession is the one who said la ilaha illallah sincerely from his heart or from himself. So these are the ones that will be the happiest on the Day of Judgment, that they will have the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That intercession can be a protection from the hellfire. And we know that there are many ways that a person can achieve the intercession. One of them is this, by saying la ilaha illallah. Not just saying it, but understanding its meaning. And that's why we keep drilling this home. Understand its meaning and its conditions. Understand its meaning and its conditions to implement la ilaha illallah. So knowledge, certainty, and yaqeen, and now ikhlas. Okay, so the first, we're looking at these three. And there's four more that we're going to study as well, inshallah, if Allah gives us the tawfiq. Because everything comes with the tawfiq, the capability that Allah blesses a person with. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said regarding this, that the Prophet ﷺ explained that those who are most deserving of the people with his shafa'ah, with his intercession on the Day of Judgment, is the one who has the greatest tawheed and ikhlas. We saw before how the connection between la ilaha illallah and tawheed. So la ilaha illallah is kalimat tawheed. In our societies, there's a practice which is not from the sunnah, right? When a person gets married, they usually ask the boy, and sometimes the girl as well, the bride, they ask the boy getting married, read kalimat tawheed, okay? As if he's not already Muslim, As if he's not already Muslim, he's already Muslim. You're supposed to say something else in that the sunnah of the nikah. Okay, they say to him, read the kalimat tawheed, la ilaha illallah. Okay, that's what they get him to read. Okay, so la ilaha illallah is connected to tawheed because it is the kalimat tawheed. It is the statement of tawheed, la ilaha illallah. So that person who is strong in his tawheed, he doesn't have any doubt in la ilaha illallah. He has certainty in that. He has knowledge of it. He has a sincerity towards la ilaha illallah. And that person is most deserving of, those people are most deserving of the Prophet's intercession. Because the Shaykh says, and Shaykh Salam ibn Taymiyyah says, and the Tawheed combines or gathers the whole of the religion. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, la yaghfiru an yushrika bihi wa yaghfiru ma duna thalik liman yasha. And indeed Allah does not forgive that shirk is done with him. Partners are placed with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he forgives anything less than that. Any crime that you can think of, Allah forgives. Except somebody who dies upon shirk. And that includes kufr. Because kufr is associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. Then the Shaykh says, Shaykh Islam says, so he subhanahu wa ta'ala, that doesn't allow anyone to intercede in front of him or on his behalf except with his permission. So if the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam the authority for intercession, so then that person will enter, those people can enter into paradise. And that is according to what they have in their hearts from Tawheed and Iman. Tawheed and Iman in their hearts. So this is why we stress this point of having ikhlas, of having sincerity in the heart. Having sincerity in the heart is so, so important. So, so important that it is the foundation of our religion. In another hadith, Yeah, and we're going to look at this first hadith about the intercession, because there's a story behind it, and we're going to look at that as well. Anyway, in another hadith from Utban bin Malik, Utban bin Malik, radiyallahu anhu, from the Prophet, or that the Prophet said, "Inna Allaha harrama ala nar man qala la ilaha illallah yabtaghi bidhalik wajhullah azza wa jal." So in the Sahih of Bukhari, from the authority of Utban ibn Malik, from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said, Indeed Allah prohibited the fire for the one who said la ilaha illallah desiring by it the face of Allah, desiring yabtaghi, yani sincere. He said this sincere, wanting the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani to get into Allah's paradise and see Allah's face, which Allah has saved for the believers in paradise. That the reward is so great that Allah will reveal himself to us in paradise. In paradise. So saying la ilaha illallah, with this intent, with this desire, with this want, is a great thing, a great thing. When we look at this aspect of that deen is khalis, that deen is pure, we're looking at what Ibn Kathir rahimahullah said. He said, "Worship Allah alone and do not associate partners with Him. And call the people, the creation, to this. And teach them, instruct them that worship is not correct except worship is only correct allowed for Allah. And that Allah has no partner and no adil wa na nadid." Yani here it means that he has no partner or any rival or anyone of his level. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Ala lillahi deen al-khalis." And is not the religion all for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purely. Meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept an action except that which is done for Him, purely for Him, la sharika lah. Okay, la sharika lahu. Okay. So we see that it is about turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and keeping away from shirk. Also in the what is narrated by Imam Muslim in his Sahih, in his book Sahih, from Abu Huraira radhiyallahu anhu, who said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah said, "Ana aghna shuraka'i an ash-shirk man 'amila 'amalan ashraka fihi ma'i ghayri taraktuhu wa shirku." And this is a statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a hadith Qudsi, that I am free from having partners to associate partners with me. Whoever does an action and he commits shirk in that action, shirk with me in that action, then I've left him and his shirk. I have left him and his shirk. Okay, so here, this hadith, going back to this hadith of Ash-Shafa'a, going back to this hadith of Ash-Shafa'a, that the most grateful people, the most delightful people, the most delightful of the people would be those people who would be most happiest with my intercession, the one who said la ilaha illallah purely from his heart or from himself. And this hadith, which is in Sahih Bukhari and in other than that, and this is the wording of Imam Bukhari rahimullah, and this was when Abu Hurairah radhiyallahu anhu actually said, "Ya Messenger of Allah, who will be the happiest people with your intercession on the Day of Judgment?" And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I presumed, O Abu Huraira, that no one would ask me about this before you, due to what I knew that you had concern for hadith." Yeah, and then he mentioned the hadith that the happiest people on the day with my intercession on the day Yom al-Qiyamah is the one who says La ilaha illallah sincerely from his heart or from himself. Here what happened was that Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu asked him this question as for affirmation. Yeah, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu asked him this for confirmation. Who will be the most happiest of the people with your intercession on the Day of Judgment? Okay, so that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, I didn't think you'd ask me that question. Yeah, because the Sahaba, they used to ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They used to ask the Prophet ﷺ different types of questions. And he said, I didn't think anybody before you, nobody was going to ask me this question before you. Yeah. You're the only one first one to ask me this question, because I thought you had the most understanding of hadith. But Abu Huraira radhiallahu anhu asked this for confirmation and affirmation. Here our Shaykh Ubayd al-Jabri, hafizullah, he says, no, have knowledge that the shafa'ah, which is mentioned in this hadith, it is the shafa'ah, the intercession, which is for the ahlul kaba'ir min al-muhideen. It is for those who, this intercession is for those who commit sins or major sins from those who are upon Tawheed. So, what do we understand from this? We understand that a person can have knowledge of La ilaha illallah, can have certainty in La ilaha illallah, can have sincerity for La ilaha illallah, but he will still fall short and make mistakes, fall short and commit sins, fall short and have deficiency. This can occur. Some could be minor, lesser sins, and some will be major sins. Okay? But if a person says La ilaha illallah, mukhlisan khalisan min qalbihi, from his heart, sincerely from his heart, then he has the chance of having the intercession of the Prophet ﷺ and to enter into paradise. This intercession, which which was given as a permission for the Prophet ﷺ, the Prophet ﷺ mentions in authentic hadith, he said that every prophet was given a du'a, yeah, or given a favor, was given a favor, and I saved my favor for my ummah on the Day of Judgment, Yawm al-Qiyamah. So look at the mercy, the compassion of the Prophet ﷺ for his ummah. Yeah, he saved this intercession for on the Day of Judgment. Now, why do people fall into, why is this aspect mentioned as an aspect of shirk? Is because the people, they take away the right of Allah of intercession. They take it a right away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what they do is they go to a grave, for example. Or they go to a shrine, yeah, and they ask the person, the dead person, they say, oh, intercede for us. Yani, a wasta, something in the middle between us and Allah. La, the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is direct. A person approaches Allah directly, okay, directly. So this is where the people end up committing shirk in intercession, that they intercede. Now here, illa bi'idhnihi, except with his permission. And we know this from Surah Ayatul Kursi. Man dhal ladhi yashfa'u indahu illa bi'idhnihi. Who can intercede in front of Allah except with his permission? So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to intercede on the Day of Judgment for the people of Tawheed who have committed major sins. And that is the shafa'ah, the intercession the Shaykh mentions, which the two groups or sects and parties have rejected from the Mubtadi', the people of Bidah, the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila. The Khawarij are a sect. They're a sect or group of people who rebel against the Muslim leader. They rebel against the Muslim leader and they go to the extent to terrorize and to kill Muslims and innocent non-Muslims as well. Okay? They do this. They do these evil acts, which are against Islam completely. Okay, so the Khawarij, they reject this. They reject this this intercession. Because they say, how can it be that the Prophet ﷺ will intercede for someone because they've committed major sin? And they reject these type of hadith, that that these hadith which are clear, that the most the happiest people with my intercession will be those who say La ilaha illallah. Yeah, say La ilaha illallah. They say, oh, if you've committed a major sin, that's it, you're not a Muslim anymore. Awudhu billah. Yeah? And the other sect that says this is the Mu'tazila, and they are a sect that apply the intellect to the texts of the Quran and the Sunnah. And inshallah, one day we'll go into a bit more detail about these people. And the Shaykh says, and by this hadith of Abu Huraira, it becomes clear the actual stance of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the people of hadith, yeah, of that affirming a shafa'ah, affirming this intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then the Shaykh says that the hadith about Utban bin Malik that we mentioned earlier, yeah, that indeed Allah makes the hellfire haram for the one the one who is upon Tawheed and La ilaha illallah, okay, desiring by the face of Allah. Here, the wording of Imam Bukhari, the whole of it, let's look at the whole hadith. Now, Utban ibn Malik, he was a companion of the Prophet ﷺ, and he witnessed the Battle of Badr as well. He attended the Battle of Badr, okay, and he was from the Ansar, from the people of Medina. So the hadith mentions that he came to Utban ibn Malik, came to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and said, "Ya Rasulullah, my eyesight has become weak." Either he's lost his eyesight or his eyesight became weak. And he said, "And I lead my people in prayer. You know, I go to the masjid and I lead my people in prayer. But if rain comes down, the valley gets flooded. And it blocks me between me and my people and between me and where the masjid is. Where I live is on one side of the valley and the masjid is on the other side of the valley. And I cannot come to their masjid to pray with them, to lead them in prayer. So I wished, I hoped, O Messenger of Allah, that you would come to my house and pray in my house, so I could take that as a regular place for prayer." Okay? A regular place for prayer. Now we see that how Utban ibn Malik, yeah, here is desiring something from the Prophet ﷺ. Yeah? When he cannot make it to the masjid due to the valley being flooded, he has to pray at home. Okay, he has to pray at home. So he requests from the Prophet ﷺ to pray in a place so he could take that place as a regular place of prayer. Yani, that the Prophet ﷺ prayed here, and we know how the companions of the Prophet ﷺ used to love praying in a place or doing that where and following that which the Prophet ﷺ did. So he asked him to come and pray, yeah, in his house. So what did the Prophet ﷺ do? So the Prophet ﷺ said, "Sa'af'al insha'Allah." I will do so insha'Allah. So Utban, he continues with this hadith. He says, so the next morning, the Rasulullah ﷺ and Abu Bakr, when the morning had arisen, yani just after the sun had risen, they came. And the Prophet ﷺ requested to enter. And I gave him permission to enter. And he did not sit until he had entered into the room or the house or the place that he wanted. Okay? So look at that. The Prophet ﷺ was such a humble, gentle person. Such a humble person that when he was invited by someone, he would go. And he took Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu with him. And Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, the best of creation after the prophets. The best of the Muslims, the first of the Muslims. And may Allah curse those who curse him. May Allah hate those who hate him. He is the most beloved of people to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually mentioned that. He is the most beloved of the people, of the men, to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wherever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to go, he would be with him. And he was the first Khalifa of the Muslims. Okay, well established. There's a consensus amongst the Sahaba about that. There's no disagreement. And Abu Bakr was the best of the Muslims. So he came with him. So it shows us the humility that the Prophet ﷺ would go and visit somebody, even though is not somebody famous, not somebody who's got a high status in society, somebody who's got weak eyesight, but he requested from the Prophet ﷺ to visit him. And the Prophet ﷺ went. And the Prophet ﷺ, from his adab, his akhlaq, he requested to come in, and he entered. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Where would you like me to pray in your house?" He didn't choose it for himself, said, "Oh, this is a nice bit," or "that is a nice bit." He asked, "Where would you like me to pray?" So I indicated to a part or corner of the house. Okay? So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood, fakabbara, and he gave a takbir, he said, "Allahu Akbar." And we stood behind him in a row and we prayed 2 raka'at. Then he gave salams. Okay, so this was the action of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is specific for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No religious man, no peer or sheikh or imam or anything can come and do this action. Why? Because there's no proof from any of the companions that they did it for anybody else. No, Abu Bakr didn't do it for anybody else. Umar didn't do it for anybody else. Ali radiallahu anhu, Uthman radiallahu anhu. None of them went and did it for anybody else. This was specific, special for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That they asked the Prophet to, pray in that place for the blessings from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's body when he was alive. Okay, so this is specific. Don't let be fooled by these people who steal the people's wealth by claiming to be holy and spiritual and righteous and these type of things, and they come and they try to take your wealth by saying, "Yes, why do you get such and such sheikh to come and pray in your house, in that corner, and you can give him money and your house will be blessed. Your house will be blessed, your family will be blessed." La la la. This is not the practice of the Sunnah, this is not practice of the Salaf. Rather, this is a practice of the Dajjalin, those who deceive the people and want to take their money. So the hadith continues. Then Itban here radhiyallahu anhu, he said, then we habasnahu, it's like we trapped the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with some food. We caused him to stay behind because of food. So we prepared some food for the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then we sat down in the house, and other people started coming, and a great number of people started coming. So one of them said, "Where is such and such person? Where is such and such person?" And one of them said, "Where is Malik ibn Dukhayshin? Where is Malik ibn Dukhayshin?" So one of them said, "That person's a munafiq who does not love Allah and His Messenger. He's a munafiq, he's a hypocrite, does not love Allah and His Messenger." So the Prophet ﷺ said, "La tuqul dhalik, don't say that. Do you not see that he said, 'La ilaha illallah, yuridu bidhalik wajhullah'?" Okay? Do you not see that he said, "La ilaha illallah," wanting the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then the person said, "Allah wa rasuluhu a'lam," Allah and His Messenger know best. And then we saw that the Prophet ﷺ said this statement as advice to the munafiqeen. He said this statement to the as advice to the munafiqeen, and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ حَرَّمَ عَلَى النَّارِ مَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the fire haram on the one who said La ilaha illallah. يَبْتَغِي بِذَلِكْ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. Wanting by that the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, desiring it by it, the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we see the wisdom in this. It doesn't mean that a person cannot be a munafiq, a hypocrite. And it doesn't mean that we can't warn against people. Because in certain circumstances, we have to warn against people. People who may be innovating into the religion, introducing new matters into the religion, and they know about it, and they teach this. Or that there's certain people, they have an agenda. They have a purpose, they have an agenda, they have a goal. Yeah, a certain goal which is mukhalif, opposing, in contrast to the kitab and the sunnah. There might be people who are harmful in the dunya, always sponging money off people, always asking people for money and not returning it. Going around saying, okay, if you give me $100, you give me $100, you give me, well, I need to borrow $500, I'll pay you back next month. Yeah, and the person never pays it back. So it is permissible to warn against this type of person. And Imam Nawawi rahimullah talks about six different types of people where there is permissible for backbiting to take place. The asal of backbiting is that it's not permissible, backbiting somebody. But there are circumstances, and Imam Nawawi rahimullah talks about this in detail, of those situations where it's permissible to backbite. So here they said, oh, such and such is a munafiq and he doesn't love Allah and his messenger. But the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was wise, and he saw that in Medina, because this is where the hypocrites were, that in this place, either in this gathering or around, information will get back to them. Yeah, and this was nasiha, advice that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was delivering towards the munafiqeen. He said, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ حَرَّمَ لَا النَّارِ مَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهَ يَبْتَغِي بِذَلِكْ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. Yani, sincerely for Allah's sake. And this is the point of hypocrisy. Hypocrites are not sincere. They're not sincere. They hide something in their hearts which is not on their tongues. They hide kufr and disbelief in their hearts, and they don't show it on their apparent on the outside, on the apparentness. Why? Because for the Muslim, what is in his heart should be on his lips and on his limbs. What is in his heart should be on his lips and his actions, his limbs. And if the heart has sincerity, then the limbs and the lips will have sincerity, truthfulness, being truthful. Okay, and if they're not, then they won't have this. They won't have this. The next thing that we want to look at, especially with regards this issue of ikhlas, is the aspect of shirk, because it is such an important topic, such an important matter that needs to be dealt with and needs to be reminded so we don't fall into it. And shirk is putting partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether it's in belief, whether it's in action, whether it's in statement. Okay? Whether it's in, a person can say La ilaha illallah, and then he goes to a grave and makes dua to the inmate of the grave and says, oh, intercede for me on the day of judgment. Forgive me my sins. Or grant me a child. Or grant me success in my exams. They say, oh, your son keeps failing in his exams. Oh, poor boy. Why don't you just go to this shrine, pay a certain amount of money, and your problems will go away. Your son will pass his exams. Yeah, Sheikh. Not only will he fail in this dunya, will fail in the hereafter as well. In a horrible, terrible way. Because shirk This is shirk, associating partner with Allah. Even if you don't believe that that inmate of the grave isn't God, it doesn't have divinity. Yeah, they say, because some of the people, they say, no, we only do this because it becomes brings us closer to Allah. La, how can that be? They said, no, because this person is someone who's beloved to Allah. The deceased is closer to Allah and is someone who's loved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because he was a good man. We don't know what is in the hearts of people. Only Allah knows what's in the hearts of the people. So here, this aspect of shirk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ وَإِنْ يُشْرِكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَمَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ افْتَرَى إِثْمًا عَظِيمًا. Indeed, Allah does not forgive that shirk is associated with him, and he forgives anything less than that. And whoever commits shirk with Allah, then he has iftara, yani he has said it, a great lie, slander, a great slander, a great sin against Allah. And another ayah, وَمَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ دَلَّ دَلَالًا بَعِيدًا. Whoever commits shirk with Allah, then he has gone extremely far away in misguidance. Extremely far away in misguidance. And another ayah, إِنَّهُ مَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّهُ مَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ. Opposite of the hadith that we're reading. Indeed, who commits shirk with Allah, then Allah makes Jannah haram for him. وَمَأْوَاهُ النَّارِ. And his abode, his place will be the hellfire. وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارِ. And the ظَالِمِينَ, the oppressors, the evil oppressors will have no protector. Allah says, وَعْبَدُ اللَّهُ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. Worship Allah and do not associate partners with Him. And there are many, many ayat. وَلَوْ أَشْرَكُوا لَحَبِتَ عَنْهُمْ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. And if they committed shirk, and their actions will be nullified. All their actions will be nullified. So a person spends his life doing good deeds, goes to Hajj, goes to Umrah, gives zakat, fasting Ramadan, sacrificing, praying, Taraweeh, lots of different things. And then he goes and commits shirk. He says, Ya Rasulullah, Ya Ali, Ya Hussein, calling upon the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's committed shirk. And if he dies upon that and not repenting, then the abode is the hellfire. With that, we come to the end of this lesson, even though there's so much that we can talk about as regards ikhlas. This condition of ikhlas, there's so many proofs and evidence. And we encourage the brothers and sisters to go back and read about ikhlas, because this is something which is a foundation, and we need to strive to correct our hearts. Strive. Correcting our hearts in sincerity, because the downfall of the Muslims is not just only because they've kept away from knowledge, they've kept away from knowledge and they've fallen into misguidance, but also due to the sincerity of worship for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sincerity of worship for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In most cases, majority of cases, you find that people, when they do an act of worship, like giving zakat or sadaqah, they want to be known by the people. They'll say, oh, put up the invoice at the back of the masjid on the wall, and see how much this person has donated. No, we're only doing it to encourage the people. La ya Sheikh, this is not permissible. This is not permissible. This is something that we try to keep away from. We try to keep away from these matters. We try to hide our good deeds as much as we can, and only turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with them. So jazakum Allahu khairan for listening. May Allah reward the dear brothers and sisters who broadcast these lessons with goodness. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Anta astaghfiruka wa atubu alayk. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad.